Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is the one, the only, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but believe me, never duplicated. I've been knocking out bumps for guess what? 40 years, all right? Knocking out all bumps for four decades. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I'm your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, was ranked nationally, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer, so I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I'm not the average boxing fan, or is there an average boxing fan in 2025? That's really the question I ask. Open phone lines around the planet. I open the phone lines up at the top of each hour. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, that's the toll-free all across America, Canada, and Puerto Rico. But straight up, this is your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, the big fight coming up the 12th of September, Canelo Alvarez and of course, Terrence Crawford. People try to say this is a size mismatch. It's not really a size mismatch. It's a battle of skills. And I think the skill level and the skills advantage goes to Terrence Crawford. There's just no doubt about it. I don't want to say he fights black, but he fights a better style of boxing than does Canelo Alvarez. He has better hand speed. He throws combinations better. Canelo supposedly connects harder because he's been fighting bigger guys. But the bottom line is Canelo's been picking guys like he's picking his nose. I'm telling you, some of the guys he's fought, that last guy, William Skull, Jaime Munguia, he bought Jaime Munguia, a fellow Mexican, he bought him a $150,000 car after he beat him. Because the guy didn't try? I mean, why after beating somebody would you buy them a $150,000 car if some spit wasn't involved? When I say spit on the show, I mean spit with an H. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Boxing's PhD, the great Socrates Palmer Jr. after the break on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Salary, and the American Forces Network. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnor antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Check it, 12 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, straight up, this is your weekly shot when it comes to the world of mixed martial arts as well. Of course, the UFC rocking and rolling. Got to give Dana White credit. He may be the creepiest guy in the entire world, but he's probably the world's greatest promoter. And yeah, Don King rolling over in his grave. He isn't dead yet, but he might as well be as far as promotional is concerned. Because the bottom line is, King hasn't done nothing in a couple of years. I mean, a couple of the cards he's done have been so bad. I think he gave them away free on Don King pay-per-view or Don King. Bottom line is, they were garbage. They just were. I mean, he should be ashamed. Don King Productions, his daughter Debbie, I think, is the main factor there as far as that's concerned. The stepson Carl King has been moved out of the circle. Once Henrietta died, who was Carl's mother, of course, that was Don's wife. When she died, so that was the end of Carl King as far as Don King Productions was concerned, soon thereafter. Anyway, bottom line is, it's Debbie King, his daughter, who has just been put into the Hall of Fame, I believe it or not, in like a couple of different Hall of Fames. I can't believe it. I can't understand why this bimbo, take that back, she's a blimbo. You know what blimbo is? A black bimbo. She just is. I mean, she wouldn't. I don't want to go off on her, but did people say, man, you're ragging on her because she got in the Hall of Fame and you did? No, I'm not ragging on her because, let me tell you, there are a lot of people that probably deserve to be in the Hall of Fame before me. I mean, there's no doubt about it, whatever Hall of Fame you're talking about. But the bottom line is, Debbie King, give me a break. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 1-800-878-PLAY-THIS, 1-800-878-7529. Junto Nakatani, of course, was successful last week. He's a bad dude. There's no doubt about it. Talk about the WBC 118-pounder bantamweight champion. Now 31 zip, 24 KOs. Weighed about a half pound under the 118-pound limit. Bottom line is, a guy by the name of Ryo Nishida had the IBF title, but he had a record of 10-0 with 2 KOs. I mean, that's like going to a knife fight with a butter knife. I mean, or a gunfight with a knife. I mean, or a gunfight with no guns. I mean, the bottom line is, this guy was obviously overpowered. This was all southpaw fight ended early. And the bottom line is, Nakatani headed for the big fight, I believe, with Nonoa Noi. Of course, that should take place sooner rather than later before one of these guys gets old and or loses. Straight up, let's go to the Bronx to bring in for Boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And how are you today, sir?
I'm doing wonderful, brother. How are you feeling?
Pretty good. How's the family? How's the wife?
Life is good. Kids are good. Sophia's getting ready for some finals, so she's a little stressed. But, you know, everything's good, man.
You know, but that, listen, isn't that the way it should be?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind her being a little stressed because that means that she cares.
Yeah, because unless you're a genius, unless you're an absolute stone cold genius, and there's one dude, check this out, this guy named Alfie Burgess. I took economics, and I barely passed economics in the 11th grade. I mean, it was the toughest class I think I ever took, okay? And Alfie Burgess, he slept through the class the entire year. He slept through it. I mean, I could almost hear him snoring, okay? You know what I'm saying? And he aced the final.
Some people have that savantness to them.
He committed suicide later. He became a heroin addict and committed suicide. But the bottom line is, he was a stone cold genius, man. I mean, he would sleep through all these classes, science class. I mean, come on, man. How can you know how can you sleep through a science class? I mean, economics, maybe you're smart as far as numbers are concerned. But as far as science is concerned, he slept through science and he aced that too.
Like, it's just that. That idiot savant.
You mean like Wilfred Benitez, Wilfred Benitez from boxing?
Exactly. That's a great analogy.
Poor guy.
Great analogy.
Poor guy. I remember when he was out here in 84, we ran him out of town. Oh, I want to say, here's what. Let me tell you what happened, Sock. He's here to fight for Gordon Ashby. Gordon Ashby is a rookie promoter. He's going to put Bash Ali, some guy that I slapped around in sparring too. I shouldn't put it to you like that. I should say that I more than held my own with him. Anyway, he was the number one ranked WBC cruiserweight contender at one point in time. He was ranked number one by the BC, the IBF, and the WBA at cruiserweight. I think when cruiserweight was 190 pounds, and he decided he would fight Henry Tillman for $7,500, and that didn't go well. Imagine that, wanting to fight a gold medalist for $7,500. Talk about idiots in his management, huh?
If that's the number, because I've heard
no, that was the number. That was the number. 75. I saw it. It was $7,500 to fight on USA Cable.
Oh my goodness! What a poor sap.
And he got lit up like a White House Christmas tree. And then later on, Ashby puts together this fight with Carlos De Leon. I think it was like May of '88 for the WBC cruiserweight title. And Wilfred Benitez was supposed to be on the undercard. In fact, I can't remember who he was going to fight. Anyway, he was here. He was going to fight at 154. And the two times that we sparred, the first time I was scared to death, and I came back to the corner, and my guy Chris Gomez read me the Teddy Atlas script long before Teddy Atlas said it. Remember when Teddy Atlas told Michael Moore, "I'm going to get the F out of here," blah, blah, something like that. Anyway, bottom line is that's what he told me. He goes, "Are you ashamed? Are you scared?" I mean, he was dogging me in that corner, man. So I went out there and I threw more punches, and Benitez never moved. He stayed in that same spot the whole time. So that just kept building my confidence. You know what I'm saying? Because I would just walk across the ring, he'd be in the same spot, I'd start pounding. Start throwing. Okay. I hit a lot of arms. He was a good defensive fighter still back in there, but he was a shell of his former self. And it was a little sad at that point in time that a guy like that could be struggling against amateurs and journeymans here in California. You feel me? It was sort of hard to watch.
Very hard. Very, very sad ending, man. I mean, if Wilfred Benitez was an American, I mean, well, he was, but. Or he is, rather. Do you know what it is to be a world champion at 17? Like, he's not even old enough to vote.
But have you ever seen an interview with him?
Yeah.
Not extensive? Yeah. Extensive?
No, he was always slow, you know? I mean, he probably, if, you know, back then, I mean, people that were,
hey,
like, on the spectrum.
He gave me the creeps. You know why? He kept telling me, "Hey, how's your girlfriend? Tell me about your girlfriend." Man, I had a fine girlfriend at the time, but the bottom line is, yee, you know what I'm saying? Every time we got on the phone, I call him up and say, "How was training day? How's your girlfriend?" Damn, man!
A very hyper-sexual, what's the word? Something or there or other.
So did he hook up with Ray Leonard's sister?
That's what I was always told, you know, and it was like prior to them fighting. So
okay, did Tony Aiello Jr. hook up with Mrs. Duva?
You know, a wise man told me that Ayala took it to his grave, saying, "Tell her to take the test."
hey, pound for pound, he was the creepiest guy in the history of boxing. I think he was one of them. He was a creepy MF, man.
Yeah, he definitely deserved the way he went out.
Exactly. I mean, he couldn't. You know what? He didn't die soon enough. He just didn't. I mean, that stuff that he did the first time around, that girl that he raped, of course, January 1st, 1983, it was New Year's Eve, and she was his next-door neighbor, and he broke into her apartment, and then he stuffed his sweaty tube socks in her mouth to keep her quiet, this and that, and he raped her and this kind of stuff. And like he expected, and he told her, don't tell anybody. That's what he left before he left. Don't tell anybody. Like she said, I'm not going to tell anybody. This is between you and me. Got to be kidding me. He went to jail, spent a long time in jail. He got out the pen, and I forget who was lobbying for him, but somebody said to me, will you Michael have him Katz. On the show?
Michael
and
Katz.
I said to him, are you serious? Yeah, so we have him on the show. I said, you know, I'm an ex-cop, right? You know, I don't like the sexual predators, that kind of stuff. I'm not with that. You understand that, right? I said, yeah. So I could be rough on the dude. You understand that, right? So anyway, so I had him on the show. I said to him, blah blah. He goes, yeah, I'm here to defend the Ayala name. Blah. I said, well, you've sort of kicked the Ayala name into the gutter. I said, when you kicked that girl in the drive-in.
How did he respond?
It was, you know, that silence. He wasn't laughing, but it was silence on the other. Because here's what's up. Because what happened was there was something went down in a San Antonio drive-in movie, and some girl was on the ground. He kicked her, and he knocked out her bladder.
Wow.
He was kicking. He was kicking her when she was down. Him and Shakur Stevenson should take a walk and hold hands together.
Oh, boy.
Pedro, don't be talking about me like, you know, Pedro, I get tired of you talking about me week in and week out. I'm Shakur Stevenson, and I'm the world lightweight champion.
Okay, Shakur. Okay, Shakur. We're going to take a station break. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. At 40 minutes past the hour, we'll be joined by the man that wrote the latest book on Mike Tyson, talking about Mr. Mark Kriegel of ESPN fame. That'll be at 40 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, Make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
June 14, 1977, Carlos Palomino KOs Davey Boy Green, the 11th round, of course, from Britain at Wembley Stadium, retains the WBC welterweight title. That's the same Davey Boy Green that Ray Leonard launched into another universe with a three-punch combination, probably the most devastating three-punch salvo. Yeah, I would have to say that. Think about that. Can you think of a better three-punch salvo than what Ray unleashed on Green that day?
The combination is a lost art, man. That was... like, it looked like a video game. If you go back and watch it, like, you only see stuff like that now if you're playing some some video game on your PlayStation. That was epic, that combination.
Okay, I was looking at the the upcoming fights as far as the WBC is concerned. They're going to rank another guy, another Japanese guy that's 10-0 with like two knockouts or three knockouts. They're going to rank him number one at 118 pounds, even though Hunto Nakatani is like 31-0 with 24 KOs. I guess they're determined to keep Nakatani unbeaten until he fights in Illinois, right?
It seems like the plan. It's a fight, like you said earlier, that you hope it doesn't marinate to the point of, okay, you know, this should have happened 2 years ago. I think it's a little different in Japan. I think there is going to be a big sense of pride that the entire world is going to stop and watch the two greatest Japanese fighters, you know, of at least the modern era.
Maybe in history, because there's never been, outside of Daniel in the other room, there's never been another Asian dude on the top 10 pound for pound list in the history of boxing.
Right, outside of Manny Pacquiao,
I'm talking about Stone Cold Japanese.
Stone Cold Japanese, yeah. No, this is the golden era of Japanese boxing, you know, two guys that are, you know, in the top six, seven fighters in the world. I mean, from the land of the rising sun, you don't get that. And it's weird because when you think of Japanese culture, discipline, focus, you know, that's the two probably biggest attributes that a fighter needs, you know. And they're wired that way to begin with. And you figure, how come they haven't excelled more in boxing? So, you know, maybe they are just the pioneers of a new era. You know, I mean, they're in the golden era now, but who knows, 10, 15, 20 years from now, you know, they're changing the sport.
But here's what's up. When I fought it, I'm going to get in trouble saying this. Asian guys lacked upper body strength pound for pound when you matched them against other guys for some reason. And I have no idea. Maybe now they're maximizing their weight. You know what I'm saying? In other words, they could be fighting at weights that were probably maybe a little bit too big for them back in the day, and now they're fighting at weights where they belong.
Right. These micro divisions, right. And I don't think it's coincidence. I think you're right. I don't think it's coincidence that in these lower weight classes, that's where they're dominating. The flyweight, you know, the bantamweight division. And there's how many Inoue brothers are there? There's like three that fight.
Yeah, so. There's three of them that fight. I think there's only one of them. Only one's really any good, right? The other two are fair.
But one of them is very, very good. And then, yeah, you know, it's the brand. You know, the brand is strong, you know, and they have good promotion, the Tekken brand. At one point, the best Japanese fighter was Venezuelan, the former world champion that he fought out of there. His name escapes me right now. Linares.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Asparagosa.
Linares. And then the crazy one that wound up killing his family. I think he also was based out of Japan.
Yeah, and the reason why he was based out of Japan was the only athletic commission in the United States that would license him was Texas. What does that say?
Right. Yes. Right. The piece of spit that we shouldn't even name him. Yeah, he had that plate in his head.
Yeah. So I would, you know, If he was laying in the sewer, I'd love kicking him. He was, no, man, he was a bad, bad, bad dude. Like, and let's just leave it at that without even bringing up his name. George Kambosos, how did he beat such a bad dude in Teofimo Lopez? And I'm praising myself here, maybe a little too much self-praise, but I don't think George Kambosos had the skills I had.
Well, you also called an upset, if I remember, when we were on the air, you know, and I totally was dismissive of George Kambosos. Kambosos reminds me of a guy that just got into the Hall of Fame a little bit, Pazienza. You know, he's a guy that fights with a lot of energy, not really a big puncher, but he does everything kind of fundamentally sound. He's got a lot of grit to him. And when you're smart in that ring and you have grit and your cardio is good, that could take you a long ways. And, you know, I've used words on Kambosos that maybe, you know, a little harsh. I thought he was like a C-level fighter. But credit to his father, credit to his promoters, he's made a lot of money.
He's made a lot of money. Exactly. He conned Devin Haney to come down there twice. It bears what's up. Speaking of Vinny Paz being in the Hall of Fame, that beats Debbie King.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, he's a nice guy.
Hey, get this. He's a character. Hold on. Pedro, I can't understand why you don't want to work with us anymore. That was one of the last things I heard out of Debbie King about 2.5 years ago when I was talking to her on the phone. She's a zero, man. She's a minus zero. I can't believe that. It must be difficult for her to breathe. I mean, because, you know, it takes a brain to make you breathe.
Ouch.
Well, you know, I'm listening. Compared to her stepbrother Carl King, I mean, you know, Carl did a lot. I think Carl did a lot of blow. There's not too many people would dispute that. I think he did a lot of blow, but so did Bob Lee's son, and that's why Bob Lee didn't roll over on anybody, because somebody took care of his son.
Oh boy, yeah. Look,
am I getting too deep here on scandals? This is going too inside stuff here.
So nepo babies that like to ski. That's a great book.
ooh. Okay, so Richardson Hitchens. Should I get excited about him?
You know what? There's very few things to not like about him. He's a very fundamentally sound fighter. New York guy. Made his bones on the amateur scene. Out of Brooklyn, Haitian descent. You know, he's a good fighter. However, a little caveat, he's got a little coward in him, in the sense that he loves to spar guys when he's like 30 pounds over them, right?
And he's a weight bully, gym bully.
Yes, he is. And I know that firsthand, you know, from fighters that I've worked with. Like I say, he's a local guy. I've followed his career since before, you know, when he was in the amateurs, you know, but he's fundamentally sound. He's very comfortable in the pocket. You know, but I think he might be overlooking Kambosos. You know, in the press conference, very nasty. You know, he's waving dollars in front of Kambosos, which is stupid. I mean, Richard Hitchens does not live better than George Kambosos, period.
And never will, probably.
Right. You know what I mean? So that's number one. And he's yelling at Bill Haney, and he's overlooking the guy that's going to be in front of him. And Kambosos knows this is his last shot. You know, and be weary of a wounded animal. Kambosos, I believe Teofimo Lopez was not 100%. He overestimated Kambosos. Kambosos is coming to fight, you know, and maybe the stars are lined up with him a certain way. You know, he's undefeated in New York. You know, he's 2-0. He says he's going for the 3. So it's going to be an interesting fight. A lot of bad blood. And hopefully, you know, they deliver when the bell rings.
Okay. And Bob Arum sort of hit the brakes on Keyshawn Davis, huh?
Wow. You talk about a brand being ruined. Keyshawn Davis, I don't know if he'll ever recover from it. You know, he really.
You mean him pulling out the fight or him and those guys headbutting that dude afterwards?
Man, just crazy. Just crazy. I mean, he really perpetuated everything that the stereotype about African-American males, you know. I mean, you really, like, what are you doing, bro? Like, you're a professional.
Man, I felt bad for Nahir Albright because I thought they were going to screw him to begin with. And can't remember who the good judge was now. I can't remember. I think Brian Costello, I think, of New York. He had the fight even. The other guy won eight. I mean, Nahir won 8 rounds, if not 7, for sure.
Yeah. And now, if you're Team Albright, do you take legal action? That's assault.
You know, you take legal action. Yeah, I definitely think you take legal action. You got to do something. Get some money out of this one. Got to run this up this pole for some money. Plus, brothers got to realize they can't do that. They can't pull that street crap. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I haven't heard of guys doing this in a long, 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 long time.
Yeah, it's totally uncalled for, especially when you're the antagonist, you know? And that's some real bully stuff, because you're in your home, there's three of you guys. Like, come on, bro. Like, what are you really doing? What, you know, I mean, they're in Virginia. And the laws are different. What if someone happened to brandish, you know, a firearm? Well, then what would have happened? Yeah. You know, and plus, and the idiot is with his 7-month-old in a stroller.
Yeah, well, Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, where Doug Beavers, head of the IBF at that point in time when he was taking all those bribes. That's where he was headquartered. He was head of the Virginia Boxing Commission. Man, that guy sort of got a little bit dirty there. I saw films of him giving Bob Lee money.
Wow.
It was heavy. And then I went and told Bob Lee about it, and Bob Lee started shaking. And then he took 2 nitroglycerin pills in like 90 seconds. I'm serious. He started shaking. I said, Bob, can I tell you? I got something personal to talk from you. And back, that's when I was Poison Pen Pedro, North American Writer of the Year, the whole nine yards. Everybody knew who I was. And when I walked in the room, I commanded some respect. And I said to him, I said, I need to talk to you personally. He goes, Pedro, anything you can say in front of these guys. So I said it in front of him, and he didn't say a word.
He started doing the Diddy Harlem Shake.
Diddy. Oh, my God. Let's not even get into Diddy. Anyway, have a great week. Hug the wife. Hug the kids. We'll talk soon.
You too, my brother. And a happy, happy Father's Day to you and all the other listeners.
Straight up. Happy Father's Day. Next up on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the great Mark Kriegel talking about the newest book on Mike Tyson, the baddest man on the planet. Coming up on Sports Byline. This time tomorrow I'll be on the road,
so I got to get on. Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out collection letters, garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it even harder to get out of debt. Don't let tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in taxpayer assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. Let them fight on your behalf, helping to put your tax problems to rest. Call the tax professionals at Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-833-0733. 800-833-0733. 800-833-0733.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The baddest man on the planet, Mike Tyson, of course. The Making of Mike Tyson, that's a new book out by Mark Crago. We are joined by Mark Crago. Come to us, I believe, from Santa Monica, California. Do you live in Santa Monica, sir?
I do. I grew up in New York City, where I am now.
Okay. When you were in Santa Monica, did you ever see Whitey Bulger?
Not that I know of, man. I would have gone out for a beer with him if you...
Here's what's up. I don't know if you know this, but the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant, was going to Whitey Bulger's building once a week and visiting somebody, and he did this for like several years, and he never saw Whitey. So I asked him and his wife, I said, you were going in there once or twice a week, you never saw Whitey Bulger? And they pointed at each other.
How would he know what... How would Larry know what Whitey looked like if he was incognito?
Yeah, that's a good point. But the bottom line is, you know, Whitey.
How come Whitey didn't say hello to Larry? I saw Larry yesterday before I left, Friday, I think.
He's wonderful to be around. I'm going to go down and visit him again in the next couple of weeks. Of course,
we go out to dinner. We go out to lunch every couple Fridays.
Yeah, well, you're lucky. You're very fortunate. In fact, not a whole lot of people get to spend time with him. You know. He and I go back 40, 41 years now. Of course, I think the night that we met was the Hagler-Hearns fight when he ran up to me. He just ran up to me out of the blue and said, could you believe what just happened? I mean, that began our relationship. We've been tight since, of course. And his wife, Patricia Merchant, may she rest in peace, the godmama. She passed away about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. Of course, they scattered her ashes in Hawaii. So she's happy and the godfather's content. And I hope to see him in the next couple of weeks. But to spend time around him is just invaluable. You can't put a price on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's talk about your book, Mike Tyson. Talk to me about it. You wrote these other books. I got to give you props on these other books, first of all. The Life of Pete Maravich, a biography pistol. Man, he was an amazing athlete. In fact, he might have been one of the pound for pound, maybe the best player pound for pound. Who knows? Maybe better than Michael Jordan. And The Good Son, The Life of Ray Boom Boom Mancini. Of course, The Bad Son was Lenny Mancini, I believe, of course. And, of course, we mentioned the Whitey Bulger thing. But now the Mike Tyson book, I'm holding it here, Baddest Man, The Making of Mike Tyson. Talk to me about that. What compelled you to write this book?
Well, first thing was I owed the publisher money, and I did not want to do a Tyson biography. Probably the last thing I would have done. I was actually thinking of places I'd rather drive a nail through my body than revisit all the crap I wrote about Tyson in the 90s and covering him. It was not first on my list, and I had actually torn a hamstring, and I was a little over-medicated at the time. And the publisher calls and says, hey, you know, you owe us money. A friend of mine says, you can't give money back. It's your duty as a writer not to give money back.
Never.
I tried to figure out a way in all seriousness that I could write about Tyson or my experiences covering Tyson without writing a full biography. A biography is a pretty labor-intensive endeavor. And I asked him, well, can I do some kind of like essay type piece? He says, yeah, sure, whatever you want. Lo and behold, Tyson generates so much damn story that the book became fatter and fuller, and it required more and more context. And, you know, I guess a couple years later, I sat down with the editor, who was pretty happy with the book. I said, hey, I'm glad you're happy. We got about like 80,000 words here. And Tyson's still, like, I don't know, about 16 years old. What the hell do you want to do? This is not a little skinny, elegant book. And he says, is there a place where you can cut it to do a two-volume book? I said, of course. The first thing I told him when he broached the subject, absolutely not. But, in fact, here we are. It's a two-volume book now. We're supposed to be. And it ends at the Sphinx fight, which I don't know about you, but to me that's the obvious break and the high point of his professional career.
I watched that fight from the last row of the Atlantic City Convention Center with a pair of binoculars. I was part of the press crew back then. They set up these kitchen chairs, and they were all green chairs.
Right.
And they set these kitchen chairs up after the last row in the convention center. I kid you not. And they put me in this last row. It was my first trip to Atlantic City. I couldn't say nothing. Couldn't talk any smack. Anyway, the bottom line is I'm tuning in the binoculars, and boom, the fight's over.
Mm-hmm. 91 seconds. But, I mean, what people forget with that, and I know you played the clip of him and Robin or him talking about Robin before, but, you know, I didn't realize at the time. I was a kid. I was, like, covering cops and courts. My first Tyson assignment was actually a city editor waking me up in the middle of the night telling me to run up to Harlem. He just got into a fight with Mitch Green and Dapper Dan's. But what I didn't really understand at the time is that this is a guy, a 21-year-old kid, who's basically, I don't mean this in the clinical sense, but being torn apart, having a kind of breakdown. And I was not particularly charitable to Tyson. As a matter of fact, I wasn't charitable to Tyson at all when I was writing a column in New York. I think differently of it now. I mean, his wife, the mother, her sister had gone to the papers about a week to go before what was then a fight of the century, saying that he was drinking too much and he was violent. Putting aside the allegations right then, I mean, the kid's breaking down in crying spells in the weeks leading up to the fight. And underneath all the apparent ferocity was this young kid who, you know, nothing can really prepare you for a fight kind of like that. And also, if you remember, like, Michael Spinks wasn't a chump.
No.
He had handled Larry Holmes. He had just completely done away with Cooney. He was undefeated. He'd overcome an awful lot in life. He knew what he was doing in the ring. But to put him out in 91 seconds, I mean, you know, that exceeded, even for Tyson, people were accustomed to seeing those early spectacular knockouts, even for Tyson. That raised the bar.
It took
two, and it crystallized the notion of him, not just in America, but around the world.
It took 2 seconds more to make a believer out of Carl the Truth Williams, or make a liar out of Carl the Truth Williams, than it did to make a believer out of Michael Spinks. Mike, I mean, when he had that last fight with Carl Williams, and I was there, this and he blew him out. There's no doubt about that. We had the big party afterwards, and this and. Was that the end? I mean, did he ever? Do you think he ever got it together after that point in his career?
I think the high point for him, and I think that he'd agree with this too. He said it before. The high point for him physically was actually Burbick.
Okay.
And Burbick was big and strong, and he did him. I think what is it like two or three rounds?
Two rounds, something like that.
Yeah, but he does that. He falls like in each corner of the ring. He says it was Burbick. I think it was Spinks because of
the
pressure and the magnitude of the fight. It's an interesting thing. You remember Rock Newman?
Sure. Rock Newman, right? Mouthpiece.
But I always think he did a great job with Bo. But he was working for. He's working for Butch Lewis at the time,
right.
The kind of spokesperson. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one of the things he remembers that the Tyson camp was really, and HBO were furious at Butch Lewis and Spinks for leaving the HBO unification tournament, which was all of it was organized around Tyson. You got to remember, like a decade before Tony Soprano,
that's what
Tyson did. For HBO, his economic impact on the rise of that network can't be underestimated. Which is, you know, they built something here that will never be duplicated in terms of its financial impact.
I remember the old days when Uncle Seth Abraham ran the show there at HBO, and he was good to me. What was your relationship with him like?
My relationship with him was great. If you check out the book, you'll see Seth has an awful lot to say, and I think most of it's really, really smart.
You know,
but what I was saying though at the time about Rock Newman, they didn't want, you know, Butch Lewis and Spinks, I think they pulled out of the fight. They pulled out of the tournament in some measure because they could make easier money with Cooney.
Mm-hmm.
And because at some level they really, I spoke to Spinks, I wasn't really dying to fight Mike. You know, Mike was funny in that the enormity of fear he struck in a professional fighters, guys who were seasoned. So what Rock Newman did, he had a mole in the Tyson camp, okay, and they would know. Wherever Tyson showed up at, like, clubs, bars, whatever it was. And they always had a bunch of guys, and in some cases, girls, telling them, yo, you scared, you're an X, you're a Y, you're a Z, you're a this, you're a that, you're scared of Spinks, you know it. And it drove Mike crazy. And finally, Tyson went to the late Jimmy Jacobs and said, you better make this fight. And that's how the damn fight happened, because Tyson couldn't stand hearing that anymore.
Okay. I got a question for you, and this may be a little off the wall or off subject. Were Custy Amato and Jim Jacobs gay together? They lived in the studio apartment together for like 10 years.
I don't know. I mean,
I just thought I'd throw it at you. I mean, you're the guy. You're the iconic author.
I don't know. I wasn't there in the studio apartment. I mean, I do address in part the issue of Cuss's sexuality in this. And I mean, you got to read. You're going to have to go through the book.
I've got the book, and I'm reading it now. Yeah. I started the book, man. Believe me, I hope to have this book done in a week.
No. But. I mean, look, I don't know. I mean,
Jimmy was
married. No, but hold up. You asked me a question, though. Jimmy was married. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't in there with either of them. I think what Cuss really cared about, and I'm not dodging the question because I have the same, I have similar questions. You have to look at how I dealt with it in the book, and it is sort of ambiguous, but I don't think Cuss cared about anything so much as being immortal.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the things he was asking Mike as a kid is, it wasn't just about, when you get a young kid, maybe you get him out of lockup or you get him off the street, you say, hey, kid, we're going to turn you pro one day, we're going to see what you got, we'll put you in the gloves, maybe we'll get you a GED, straighten out your life. It was none of that with Tyson. From the beginning, it was about being the best and the youngest of all time, which is an extraordinary pressure to put on a kid. And maybe it was commensurate with his talent. But I also think at some level, what Cuss was asking Mike to do was make me live forever. And we always talk about the fighter's ego. And like to be a fighter, you need a crazy ego from the jump. Just to go up the stairs, go in there basically naked and fight in front of people. But in large measure, what this story is about is the ego of the trainer. And I think that, Cuss is in many ways his creator.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also asking, he's driving a really hard bargain with that kid, which is make me live forever. Now, Tyson, when I spoke to him about this, he pushed back on it because I think he feels this enormous debt to Cuss, as well he should, but his response is, I tell him, I said, I'm not sure it's really the healthiest thing to do. You take a 13-year-old kid out of lockup, and you put him under hypnosis, you tell him he's a scourge from God, and he's like, yeah, well, you talk about immortality, because as long as people know my name, they're going to know his, too. Didn't I make him immortal? And the answer is, yes, he did.
Wow. The book is called Baddest Man, The Making of Mike Tyson. Mark Kriegel is the author. We thank you so much for your time, young man. And if you ever want to come back here, believe me, you have an open invitation week in and week out. In 1984, I was at the Olympic training camp in Colorado Springs. Of course, I finished 13th in the country that year at 139 pounds. But the bottom line is, I saw Michael Nunn talk down Mike Tyson. You ever heard that story?
Oh, is that right? No, I didn't, man.
All right. So here's what
I'm dying to hear it, Pedro. Okay. Yeah.
All right. We're all sitting in the hot tub, and Pernell Whitaker, all these guys were sitting in the hot tub there in Atlantic City. It was shaped like a boxing glove, sort of like a teardrop, something like with a big old hot tub, like a swimming pool. Anyway, Mike, we're going back and forth, and he's black. I'm just there. I'm the only non-black guy there. I'm 23% black. Puerto Rican don't count. But the bottom line is, I'm like sitting there, and I'm in all these guys, and they're going back and forth, and they're capping on each other like, your mama did this, your mama did that. And then Mike said something like, I knew your mama when she was hoeing to Michael Nunn. And Michael Nunn stood up in the hot tub, walked across the tub, and said, MF, get your ass up. And Mike froze and didn't do anything. So that, by the way, I think Mike realized he had stepped across the line there. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. It's a hell of a story. I believe you, but it's a hell of a story. Never heard that one before, Pedro.
Well, listen.
I should have called you, man. That's one interview I didn't get that I should have.
Nah, I'm just an old guy. Bottom line is, you know, that was my era in 1984. Of course, finishing 13th in the country was an honor, no doubt about
it. I got a question. Were you there the day that him and Holyfield got into it?
No.
At the pool table?
No. I tell you one, good old Holyfield told me one morning, I was bitching about the food, right? He said to me, be glad you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't say nothing else. Be glad you're eating. That was the first thing he ever uttered to me, because I was bitching about the food.
Because the funny thing with him is that even when Mike was scaring everybody,
he wasn't.
He did not scare Evander.
You know what?
I mean, you know, Evander could not be bullied.
No, he could, no doubt about that. But then again, I got to say that, you know, Evander had his Evander took his share of Flintstone vitamins, so that might have played a part as well. That's the subject for another day. Anyway, listen, I thank you so much for your time. I feel honored that you came on my show. Baddest Man, the Making of Mike Tyson, Mark Kriegel. You can get you to Amazon. Where else can you get it? Everywhere?
I hope so.
Okay. Well, I wish
comes
you the best.
Comes out, I think, tomorrow, the next June 3rd.
Okay.
Well, you can get on Amazon now.
Okay.
All right.
I wish you the very best of luck, man. If you ever want to come back here, you have an open invitation anytime.
Hey, Joe, be my pleasure, man. Have a great day.
Thanks so much. The great Mark Kriegel of ESPN fame, of course, is the author of The Baddest Man, The Making of Mike Tyson, coming out June 3rd, of course, on Amazon. Order right now. Straight up, this is Ring Talk.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Mark Kriegel, pound for pound, man, that guy knows what's going on when it comes to the sport of boxing. Of course, we see him on ESPN, we see him on these different pay-per-view events, and I think he's the best going right now as far as all-around analyst occur. He tells it like it is. He isn't afraid to rock the establishment, per se, and guess what? He's a good guy. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Tonight, the UFC is going to go with a fight card on ESPN+. Of course, Kamaru Usman, the former champion, taking on Joaquin Buckley. That's in the main event. It'll be a five-minute round. Of course, it's the main event. And the co-features will be Rose Namajunas versus Miranda Maverick. Bottom line is I butchered both those names. But this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Saturday, of course, January 14th. The Sunday edition will not be live. We'll do a tape show tomorrow. This is Happy Father's Day, everybody. Daniel's my producer. He's the greatest on the planet. Thank you, Daniel. Bye-bye. I'm stuttering. This is Ring Talk.